Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome. Great to have you with us on the show. Our thanks to Bill O'Brien for taking the time for being with us today. Live on the show. He's driving back to State College. It's been an interesting week for him, obviously, but his commitment is Penn State University, as you heard on the show. And it is, and it's already going viral, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, it's already been tweeted 7 or 8 times so far. Although we're not getting the hashtags, I'm a little disappointed in that. Steve, you're going to have to educate people on how to use Twitter.
Yeah, right.
Just kidding. I know better than that.
All right. Well, let's shift gears from football to hockey. Penn State's coming off a huge win over Ohio State. They won it 5-4. I mean, they beat a Big Ten team at Consol Energy for 12,000. Joining us, and I think he's at, I think he's in Storrs, Connecticut, unless they put him in some exotic place like Hartford, is head coach Guy Gadowski. They're playing UConn tonight. Guy?
Hey, thank you very much. And yeah, we're right on campus here at Storrs.
Oh, good. Great. That means there's absolutely nothing around you. So wonderful. Really. I'm sure there's a Friendly's nearby. Enjoy it. Or a Dunkin' Donuts. Guy, the win over Ohio State, you know, when you look back, is that going to be one of those signature moments for the program where the jump start really happened?
You know what? It was a huge win for a couple of reasons. One, I mean, to get a win against a Big Ten opponent well before anybody ever thought it was possible. I think that's big on its own, but I think the way it was done, we've been trying to build, actually, no, I won't say trying, we have been building an X foundation, and but sometimes to see the fruits of that, it takes a while, and we actually had a very good game in terms of a few of the aspects that we've been working really hard on, and we saw success with it, and it was a huge win. It was in front of, there's almost 12,000 people there, and certainly the large majority were Penn Staters, and I can't tell you how great they were. I mean, I heard you talk about the culture. Obviously, it's the best culture in the world in terms of student body, and it is an alumni as well. To play in front of them and to hear them and see the colors flying, it was absolutely fantastic. So you're absolutely right. We're going to look back at that night and say that could have started it all. It was fantastic.
Now let's consider the circumstances. You fell behind 4-0 at the end of one period against Robert Morris the day before. To see them mentally get themselves back in gear within a span of 24 hours, what did that tell you as a coach?
Well, we've been taking steps in that. We actually played a game against Holy Cross, and we were up in the third period. So we did a couple things. One, we were able to come back from, and it wasn't exactly a bad performance. We had 48 shots on net Friday night. So it wasn't like it was a lackluster performance. We played well. We didn't execute. A couple pucks went in and probably shouldn't have, and that was the result. But to bounce back of it, I thought showed a lot of mental toughness. But in addition to that, we were ahead going into the third period against Ohio State, a very good team that's all of a sudden gotten, you know, playing with a lot of desperation to score goals. And I think the guys handled themselves extremely well. I mean, the majority of them are freshmen and sophomores, and I think they handled themselves extremely well. So, I was extremely, extremely proud of the mental toughness that we showed Saturday night.
It's a long season, but for the most part, have you settled in terms of how you feel about your line combinations, how you feel about your defense combinations?
No, not yet. Not yet. And we'll probably mix things up a little bit just because we want to see a few things, but we certainly have seen synergy with certain individuals, both D pairings as well as lines. And that's good to see, but we're not sold yet. We've got a lot of work to do. Our line combinations and deep pairings are just a part of that, but we certainly have a lot of work left to do.
Any coach, whether it's, you know, football, basketball, or into hockey, you'll come in and there's a certain kind of athlete that you want to recruit for a particular position. But in the process of that, when you take over a program, there is an inheritance that happens. So you're trying to fit and work. How do you feel about how your players have adapted to the style that you want to play?
Really working at our identity. It's not something you can just talk about for a couple of meetings and it happens, or practice a certain way for a couple of months and it happens. It's something that takes constant attention. And we know as a staff, we have a very good, clear picture of what our identity is going to look like. It takes a certain athlete to get there, and also takes a certain mindset. So we've got a little bit of both, and we're trying to fit them all together. But there are certain – I certainly love to see it, you know, against Ohio State. I think we took a step in the right direction in terms of a glimpse of what we're going to stand for in the future, and that's the real exciting part. I mean, it's not just a matter of getting more talent in. It's getting guys in that buy into what Penn State University is all about, the culture, what it's all about. And I couldn't agree with you more. It's the best culture in the world. It's why I'm here. It's why our recruits are here. There's no better place to play in front of a student body or alumni. It's just absolutely fantastic. So you got to get guys that love that, buy into that, and it's a bunch of things. It's not just, like I said, it's not just one meeting to describe how we want to play. It takes a lot of work, but I am happy. I'm happy with where we're going that way. I'm happy with the foundation that we're setting, and I think that the seniors guys that you say you inherited, I'm really happy with the commitment that they've shown towards that.
One of the things that is a hallmark for you, and this is just an observation from me observing you and your staff, you do everything you can to outwork people as often as you can, which of course means you want your hockey team to outwork people. Is this team gravitating toward that, where they're outworking teams for 60 minutes?
Well, we have to. I think it's the only way that I've seen success in my life, whether it's in athletics or anywhere else. And I look at, you know, I hate to come back to this, but one of the things I love about the culture of the student body here at Penn State is they really have a workman's mentality. I mean, they don't just show up to a game and expect it to be the best show. They make it a great show. And so I agree with you 100%. That's a big part of what our staff is about, and it's a big part of what our team is about. Do I think we're getting there? I absolutely do. We have to increase our commitment, and that's something that just doesn't – again, it's not one of those things you just talk about and say we're going to be the hardest-working team. I mean, it takes conditioning. It takes work in the weight room. It takes focus in terms of your systems and your playbook. It takes a lot of things. I think we resemble the great student body that we have, so I'm very confident we're going to get there.
UConn, of course, is a program that is known for great men's and women's basketball and is known for, at times, developing a football program, especially when they had Randy Etzel, although they have Paul Pasqualoni now, who, by the way, is a Penn State graduate. But what about the hockey end of it? New England, of course, is dominated by UNH, Vermont, BU, BC, Northeastern, Harvard. Providence is not bad at all. What about UConn in the landscape? Where do they fit in, Guy?
Yeah, it's interesting because they've just made an announcement this year that they're going to move to Hockey East. And so they're going to be right along with who you just mentioned, UNH, Boston College, Boston University. So they're making a big push with their hockey program. And it's a great university. I mean, I think it's going to be a great fit for Hockey East. I think it's going to give a big boost to their hockey program. And they're in a, you know, geographically, they've got some advantages with the prep schools up here and some kids that love hockey. And I think, you know what, I look forward to seeing them grow.
When you guys have to continue to get out there in the recruiting trail. How much has this team helped you? The way your team plays, because your best recruiters sometimes are your players, and sometimes the best recruiter are your styles. Okay, yeah. What have these kids done for you in the recruiting trail?
You're absolutely right. You know what? They're a great group of guys, and they're having a lot of fun. We have a very good reputation, I think, as a team that's a lot of fun to play for, and the guys speak of that. They visibly have a great time, and you're correct. You are correct. They are your greatest recruiters in tournament team in Pittsburgh. He's a guy that you watch him play. You can see that he has skill, but he oozes love of hockey. I mean, he just oozes love of competing, and that's an identity that we want. And when you get guys like that that exhibit that, that speak to that, that can talk to recruits that way, that recruits see the scores of the games and say, wow, how are they, you know, they've got one recruiting class basically and they're doing that. doing with passion. You're absolutely right. They are your best recruiters, and those are the type of kids we want to attract.
You mentioned going to Consult and getting 12,000 there, and I've had people tell me that went to it that 90% of the crowd was a Penn State crowd, which you've alluded to. You've also gone to Wilkes-Barre. You've moved this thing around the state with the idea that next year, of course, Pagula is the place for everybody to go to watch college hockey. But the reception around the state to Penn State hockey, as you have taken, quote, the show on the road, what has that meant to the growth?
It's been phenomenal. I didn't really know what to expect. We had high expectations, but I didn't know. We didn't have a benchmark on it. And to go to Wilkes-Barre, our first win, there's 5,000 Penn Staters there. You talked about what happened at Pittsburgh. And then coming up January 19th, we're actually at Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. And I've heard they've already sold 14,000 tickets for that. It's a big part of what makes Penn State University great. And it's a big part of why I'm here is just the passion, what the university, what Penn State Athletics means to the alumni. And when they come out and they're flying the colors and they're chanting, it's a great value. It's inspirational. It makes you want to compete even harder. It makes everything more important, and I love it. And so the reception has been phenomenal everywhere we've gone, even places on the road. We were at Holy Cross. We had, alumni are coming all over it. We went to Army. There was a good contingency of alumni there. It's what makes Penn State great.
I'll tell you, you've been a great addition. It's an absolute pleasure dealing with you as often as we do. So thanks so much. We wish you nothing but the best of luck at UConn this weekend. Can't wait to get you back home.
Hey, Steve, thank you very much.
Guy Godowski, head coach of the Nittany Lion ice hockey team. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. And are they glad they ever sponsored today?
The pickle bar is going to be a hot spot for talking today.
Yes, it will be. I can see Buhner over there right now at the pickle bar. And a lot with, obviously, the great beverages. Excuse me.
There are a lot of good beverages there. No question.
Snacks and all sorts of. I mean, you have the Cotton Bowl tonight, which ESPN won't talk about. You have the NFC playoff games tomorrow, the AFC playoff games on Sunday, and the national championship game for college football on Monday. So, where do you need to stop? Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury.
I'm going to say Brewers Outlet, yeah.
Well done. Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummels Wharf, and, last but not least, who joined us today on the Hilsers General Store Hotline, Bill O'Brien. Join us live in the Hilsers General Store Hotline today at 1-800-795-9565. Look, it's a big news day. I sent him a text. He called me back. There you go.
And you're in luck, because if you missed it, you can go log on to stevejonesshow.com and listen to the archives.
Yeah, the part you're not going to hear is when he called it to Kevin.
Well, I'll share that, because it was really funny. You mentioned he was calling, so I knew
it.
Yeah,
I told him he was going to call. I just thought the best way I could do it. I tried hooking him up through here. Let's face it. I mean, they point me where I talk. That's what we do.
There's the microphone. Speak into that, please. Yeah. Well, Steve sees the same thing I do, so he saw the line. But like, there he is. Well, I figured, you know what?
It changed the tone of the... Now, earlier in the week, we were talking about the fiscal cliff. Yesterday, we were at the O'Brien cliff. People calling up, and I'm telling everybody, look, just stay easy, stay steady. I don't know anything. Just, neither do you. Just let it play out. 24 hours later, we have him on the show. Okay. And I guess it's gone viral now, huh?
It has. It's become very popular on Twitter.
As if I know even what it means. I don't even know what viral means. To me, viral's what I'm fighting right now.
I'm impressed. I mean, I'm impressed that you even knew the term viral meant something other than what you're fighting right now.
Well, the first time I ever heard it dealt with this YouTube video of me calling a play against Purdue. All right? And they said, oh, it's gone viral. I'm like, it's gone what?
And that did go viral. That's a very good description of that.
But I'm saying, though, I think it's gone what? I think it's infected? What? What are you talking about? I was completely confused. This is like the first time I found out we were on Sirius XM. I've told that story, right?
I don't think so.
You ever heard?
I don't think I've heard that.
Sirius XM, they call up and they said, hey, we'd like to have you on our pregame show for the Indiana game. This was 2004. And I said, sure. What day would you like to tape? They said, can you tape it Thursday at 1 o'clock? I said, yeah, sure, great. This is all part of story time with Steve, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I was a little lax on the music, but we'll get it in.
And so they call up at 1 o'clock, and for about 10, 15 minutes, I talk about the game, blah, 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 blah. We're done. We're finished. He says, yeah, great. We'll play this before the game on Saturday. Because at the end, he says, don't forget, you'll hear the game right here on Sirius XM, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay. So he says, yeah, we're going to play this before the game on Saturday. And I says, great. I says, you guys are doing the game, huh? He said, yeah, we're doing the game. I says, that's terrific. I said, who are your announcers? He says, you are. I said, what?
That would be you?
He said, we carry your games. I said, really? And that was another edition of Storytime with Steve. It was funny yesterday on the basketball bus. I was telling them about story time with Steve because Megan Flanagan and Mike Flanagan, Megan is Patrick Chambers' sister, saying, you must have 1,000 stories. I said, oh, because they were talking about the talk show. I said, yeah. I said, they even have a segment called Story Time with Steve. Was it Sarah Bartlett came up with that or was it you?
No, that was me.
That was you.
That was me.
That's all you, huh? Well done.
I got to take credit for that one. I don't get credit for much, but I'll take credit for that one.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Dunkin' Donuts, 3 Splendids and a cream. Oh, it's brutal.
Brutal. That was the best. That was the best little insight of what you didn't know about Bill O'Brien today.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, I'm out there. I see you out there with the double D there, Jonesy. I said, what do you got? I said, large hazelnut with cream. He goes, no Splenda? I said, no. I said, I can't take it. So, hey, at 5:30 in the morning, and that's the thing. He looks at me. He walked up to me last year at one of the 5:30 workouts. He goes, you're insane. And I love it. I said, thanks for the endorsement. I always want to be insane. I said, it's a team building exercise. I said, you told me I could come out here. I said, so he says, oh yeah, no, I want you out here. He pulled me in the office one day. He said, I think it's the coolest thing. I said, it's cool. All right. Especially when I'm out there freezing to death. I said, so Spider gave me this hat. Okay. It was last January. I'm out there. It's 5:30 and it was cold, right? They're out in the AstroTurf field. Okay? I said, do you have anything? So he gives me this pullover hat, right? Well, this year at the Wisconsin game, I walk in, and the Wisconsin game was a cold, raw day. Matt LePayward and I were talking about it last night. Right? And I walk in, I had the hat on. I didn't know if we were going to do the show outside for the pregame or be in the booth. So I brought it with me. So I come in, I put it down, and the eyeballs, right? Oh, look. Where'd you get that? I said, what do you mean, where did I get that? I said, oh. I said, that? I got it from Spider. They said, I said, I got it in January at the 5:30 workouts. I said, I didn't see any of you there and didn't really think of you at that moment. Greedy group. Greedy. Another edition of Storytime with Steve.
Love it.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Our thanks to Guy Gadowski for joining us today. Jeff Byers on Penn State Wrestling. and Bill O'Brien, the head football coach of the Nittany Lions, joining us on the show today as well. Now we shift gears to Pittsburgh. Pitt football playing for the third straight year in the Compass Bowl in Birmingham. We're joined by Tony DeFazio from the Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, I mean, this is the third straight year they've gone to this doggone bowl. I mean, are there any sights left in Birmingham they haven't seen yet?
No, the players were actually joking about that yesterday, Steve. Andrew Taglianetti, who has been part of all three of these trips, said that, it's almost like, driving out to Monroeville Mall, for him, because, they know the locals, they know the staff at the fast food restaurants, they know the staff at the hotels. And frankly, this is an outrageous statement, but other than Heinz Field, they will have played more games at Legion Field over the past 3 years than any other stadium in the country. So, three games at Legion Field in 3 years. Hey, it's a great stadium. There's some historical significance to it. But forgive the players if they do not want to play another game in Legion Field for quite some time.
I mean, no offense, but when you go to the Piggly Wiggly down there, they go, "Hey, Bill, hi, Frank, how are you?" It's a little too familiar at that point.
The only thing not familiar is the coach.
Yeah, that's right. A different guy.
He's been there too often.
The accelerated move to the ACC because of the demise of the Big East. Give me an idea about how much this in the end really does help.
Well, you can say what you want about the ACC, and a lot of the negative statements you can make would be correct. But at the same time, it's night and day compared to the Big East. I mean, we don't recognize the Big East. The Big East may have set a record for schools that joined and then left before playing a game. TCU, Boise State, San Diego State may be in that same mix. So, I mean, obviously, Pitt needed to get out. Louisville needed to get out. Rutgers needed to get out. Syracuse needed to get out. West Virginia. I mean, that's the bulk of the Big East right there. Those teams are all gone. So you feel bad for some of the teams that are left behind. The Catholic schools and the basketball side, certainly, they have escaped now as well. And heck, you look at the schools that are going to be joining the ACC next year. Louisville with a huge win the other night over Florida. Syracuse upsets West Virginia. Pitt has a chance, to give those ACC fans some reason for hope as well by coming up with three wins and three tries in the bowl game. So a lot of optimism, and again, despite the fact that the ACC has its own issues, those issues don't compare to the issues that the Big East certainly has been facing.
Well, I've always said that the move to the ACC was actually a great move for Pitt. I have not in any way denigrated the ACC. The only thing about the ACC I've been critical of, Tony, is I don't like how they put together the deal with Notre Dame. I think that was an indication of weakness on the part of the Big East, and the deal they put together with Notre Dame was an indication of weakness on the fact of the ACC. Look, I think you have to be all in or all out when it comes to, and you just can't acquiesce because that's a name. So that's been the only area I've been critical of when it comes to the ACC. Other than that, I think it's been a great move for Pitt.
Steve, I'm gonna build on what you just said about Notre Dame and Pitt and West Virginia have been through that exact same acquiesce to Notre Dame. The Big East did the exact same thing, and that was one of many major problems that the Big East had. I agree that is not a good sign. I think that probably makes the Pitt and the Syracuse folks a little bit wary because they've been down that road before. But again, you put that aside and you look at the problems that the ACC has, and those problems really kind of end with, are they as good as this conference or the other conference? And if the answer is no, well, okay, so be it. It's a solid conference. They're playing football, they're playing basketball, and they're as stable, heck, in today's environment, as you can probably be. So I agree. It's definitely a great move. I do agree with the criticism of the how they've acquiesced to Notre Dame. I think that's a little bit scary. Again, Pitt and Syracuse have been down that road in the past.
And I'm not being critical of Notre Dame. They're trying to put together the best deal for them. So it's not a criticism of Notre Dame, but my criticism is don't bend over backwards for one program. And that's, and I felt about that way about that for a long time. All right, the Steelers. Tony, last I checked, they are not playing this weekend. And is it true that Ben Roethlisberger personally drove Todd Haley to the airport for the Arizona interview?
that plays out. We talked about not criticizing the ACC. I'm not going to criticize Todd Haley personally here, but that move, at least in year one, did not work out. And you can, you know, I'm not sure where the blame goes there. We're not even sure who necessarily made the decision to get rid of Bruce. Everything, you know, mixing in with a different combination here or there. They were young guys who were already leaning on the veterans next to them. People were leaning on Willie Colon, guys, you know, guys like Mike Adams and so forth. We're leaning on players, you know, some of those veteran players to help them along. And then when guys started to fall down again for the fourth or fifth year in a row, one by one, week by week, I think it put a pretty big dent into that cohesion, and it certainly affected the running game. But I think they do have some nice young talent spread across that line to work with. Now we'll see if they can stay healthy.
It's an interesting mix on this football team, the young talent you just talked about, but there's also some age in some key spots. Have there been some initial reads on what the Steelers are thinking on their priority list for the NFL draft?
You know, it's tough to say again this year because there are so many needs. You know, Dick LeBeau is in all likelihood going to be returning again. And the way Dick LeBeau likes to construct that defense, there's always going to be linebackers that are going to be a big part of the draft, especially with James Harrison's situation. This is a guy who's due a ton of money this year. He's 33 years old, and his performance has slipped a little bit due to probably a chronic back injury and the fact that he's 33 years old. He wasn't quite the same player that he'd been in the past. So you have to wonder whether he's going to come back or not. If he does, it's probably not going to be at the salary that he's due. They're probably going to have to rework something. Lamar Woodley was not a very good player this year. He was hurt quite a bit, and his production dropped a lot. Larry Foote is at the end of his contract as well. So a lot of decisions have to be made. They reworked the offensive line over the past couple of years. You may see a slow rework of the defense, beginning with the linebackers. So I think that's one area where they're going to have to definitely look. And that depends what happens in free agency. If they lose a cornerback like Keenan Lewis, they may have to go high at that position again as well. Keenan Lewis is a free agent as well.
Finally, the Pirates signed Francisco Liriano. Okay, that could be an A.J. Burnett moment. We'll see. But then they dealt Joel Hanrahan. Now, there are only so many saves that they're in an arm. In fact, we're still waiting for Mariano Rivera's to run out. But I can tell you, as someone who has been a devout follower of the Red Sox for a long time, you didn't get much. Okay. What's the feeling down there about what they did, especially when they made that move?
Well, I think it's a feeling of frustration among the fan base. I mean, you know, probably the money that was going to go to Hanrahan now goes to Liriano. And again, I think the Liriano move people were okay with, mm-hmm. possibly that it might work out, willing to give him a chance. But, you know, if they were going to deal Joel Hanrahan, they probably waited too long to do it. They probably should have done it at the deadline either last year or even the year before. And, you know, you don't get much for closers. Like you said, there's only so many saves in an arm unless you're Mariano Rivera or a couple of guys like him, and there aren't many. So I think they made a decision that they were going to try to get something for Hanrahan rather than let him walk at the end of his contract and get nothing. But, you know, you're right. What exactly did they get? I mean, perhaps a utility infielder out of this and maybe a middle-of-the-bullpen arm, possibly. I mean, this is a guy with a 6-plus ERA. So fans were pretty upset, I think, over this move after being not necessarily thrilled but okay with the earlier move this offseason.
All right, Tony, thanks. Appreciate it. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. As we knock it around today on this Friday afternoon, we'll come back to wrap it up in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While your favorite team is driving down the field, you're driving all around looking for a new car, which is driving you crazy. Well, Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices. Our North 4th Street Auto Plaza is stocked full of Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundais. We sell over a couple hundred cars a month. Why? Service and price. With our lowest price promise, if you can find a better price and another dealer on the used car you want, we'll beat it. That's a promise. Shop the largest Ford dealership online 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. Let's stop in and test drive Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and our Kia dealership at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And be ready to tackle the largest inventory and our lowest price promise, selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Sunbury Motors. SunburyMotors.com. The winning team.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Kevin getting his groove on. Sealands Grove and Shikellamy.
The brawl little for backyard, the mall.
Little backyard basketball scrap coming up tonight.
The brawl for the mall, part one.
7 Eastern time, 6 Central, 5 Mountain, 4 Pacific. All here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave.
Many time listener, many time caller.
There you go, Dave.
Not from Brady country.
That's right. I'm calling from long time listener, first time caller. Brady, best ever. Jerk.
Several things, Steve.
Yeah.
Well, an interesting game last night.
Yeah, it was an interesting game last night because, look, I mean, they fell behind early, then they fought back, and then they went through that drought where they ran off 15 unanswered, fell behind 14 early in the second half, and it looked like the game was headed toward a 20 or 25-point game, and all of a sudden, boom, like that, Penn State gets it back within one. It was also odd in terms, I mean, those are three really good officials out there, Stevie McJunkins, Gene Steratore, whom you'll see this weekend on the NFL, and Teddy. Valentine working it, but geez, Wisconsin was called for 7 fouls last night. 7. Brandon Taylor, the only free throw attempt. If he had made it, we're going to make it the AT&T call of the game.
Well, actually, I didn't get to hear that one because WKOK didn't have it on.
Well, you know, I'm sure like the Kevin Herr Love Fest marathon.
It was wrestling last night.
Then wrestling. Then they went to Dan Patrick.
Well, because if we can't give you all of Steve, giving you just the last half of Steve just doesn't seem fair.
I was actually in Steve, but I was talking about the football game because I didn't hear that basketball game.
Yeah, so, State last night, yeah.
You know, that was a Jim Dandy.
It was interesting how the experts told us that Oregon wasn't motivated. Meanwhile, he's running the opening kickoff back 94 yards for a touchdown, you're saying they might be slightly more motivated than the experts thought.
And then that little thing he did about breaking the tape there at the end zone when he ran that second touchdown.
Yeah, he's on the Oregon track team. That's how you run track. Hey, great finish.
Well, that, and also your different segments with Bill, also the hockey and the wrestling. It was all good fill.
That's what we're about here, Dave. I wake up every day and I say, how do I get good fill?
Well, and then I called in and got bumped off a couple different times, but I kept, you know, persistence pays off.
Persistence pays off on the Hilsers General Store hotline.
Well, and also then Kevin can go to the pickle bar because he doesn't have to drive, you know, way out of his way.
I'm all for that.
No, I think he's going to do tonight's game on pickle juice.
That may be the pregame stop.
Is Dave going to help him out?
No, Dave doesn't. Dave already has a lot of other stuff going on with the girls' basketball program, so I usually see him about 5 minutes before air. He doesn't like spending a whole lot of quality time with me.
Wow, sounds like there's a pattern that's developed.
Steve, you know what that's all about, right?
I live it every day, brother. I live it every day. Dave, you have a great weekend.
Be, on.
Dave, you have a great weekend, all right?
You too.
Thanks. All right. Number 1-800-795-9565. Yeah, the brawl for the mall.
You know what? It started maybe about 10 years ago or so. There was a football game, and it was competitive, and then that led to a competitive basketball game. And Dick Hort, I think, is the one that actually coined the phrase the brawl for the mall the following year, because all these kids used to go to the mall together and hang out. That was when there was an arcade in every mall.
Boy.
Okay. So, you know, it was who had bragging rights for the next few months. The brawl for the mall.
Wow.
Hey, it ain't the land grant trophy, but, you know, we do what we can.
Nothing is that monstrosity. My goodness. I mean, that you look at that trophy, you almost like you want to throw the game and lose it. Make them take it.
Do they still do the governor? What is it, the governor's victory bell? Or the,
that's
for Minnesota.
Minnesota?
Yeah.
That's Minnesota. Look, these trophy things. I'm like, oh, for goodness sakes. You know what trophy Ohio State and Michigan play for?
No.
They None. Don't have one. There is no trophy.
You know how I know this? Are you ready for this? Are you sitting down?
It's in a video game.
NCAA football for the video game actually has the trophy when you play those games, if there's a trophy available, and it goes into your little trophy case.
What a moment for you.
It was great.
Maybe it'll go viral.
Only if you hashtag it.
So the segment getting some tweets, huh?
It is. It is. It's getting very popular, not only on Facebook, but Twitter. And, again, you can find it on the website, stevejonesshow.com.
Good. You know, obviously it's not complete comprehensive, but it was a good 10 minutes with Bill. And, hey, he called in, so. Yeah. Admittedly, I texted him, but, I mean, you know. And I actually talked to him for, like, I don't know, 5-6 minutes before we even put him on the air, so. And it was great. It was you know, first class thing for him to do.
Well,
first class thing.
Again, I said this earlier today, and I said it this morning as well on the mark. I said it shows a lot of his personal character by making the comment he did. Yeah, you know, there were some opportunities there, but he said, I'm going to stay here. And then he went on to say why he was going to stay. You know,
right.
That he's not a one and done. Not a one and
right.
done coach, and that says
right.
a lot about his character, and I think that makes not only Penn State fans more comfortable, but even happier about the job he has done so far and will continue to do with the program.
Look, this guy, like I've only known him for a year. Okay, I had never met him until the press conference a year ago. Okay, and I remember he says, "Yeah, Jonesy, I'm a good guy." Well, you know what? He is a good guy. I mean, he really is. That's why, you know, I wanted what was best, and I made this very plain. I wanted what was best for him and what was best for Colleen and the kids. In the end, these things are personal in this realm. Okay, you know what I mean? For the fans, it's the football coach, the symbol of your program, the leader of your program, and so forth. And, you know, and I see that, obviously. But then when you're around it every day, and see, and he's allowed me to be around it every day. Joe was the same way. Joe allowed me to be around, you know, practice field, you know, and so forth. And Bill did the same thing. And I even asked him one day over the office, this is about a year ago. I said, is it okay if I go to practice? He said, oh, yeah, sure, Jones. Yeah, absolutely. Then he looks at me and said, what did Joe let you do? I said, I go to practice. He goes, oh, good, go to practice. You know?
Let me ask you this, because I was listening to Dan Patrick earlier today here on WKOK, and he had Spurrier on, and Spurrier was talking about the difference of being a college coach and an NFL coach, and one of the things he talked about was the fact that recruiting is going to be over here in about a month, or a little over that. And he said, in the NFL, then you're going to continue on, and you're getting ready for this and this and this, and free agency, and then a recruit, or not recruiting, but the draft. He said, you don't have to worry about that as much as what he was alluding to. And he said, I get a chance to play golf. And I'm wondering, is that really the case in college? I mean, do you have a little bit of a break that you don't in the NFL?
A little bit. But you know what? I mean, Spurrier is a lot about golf. I mean, seriously, Steve Spurrier loves to play golf. He has it built in. Okay? He has to, you know, make sure he has time to do things like that. See, now, look at what Bill's situation is. Okay, Bill's going through a recruiting now, but see, the recruiting's a never-ending cycle. You're working on juniors and sophomores right now. They aren't just working on finishing out for the first Wednesday in February. They're recruiting sophomores and juniors right now. That's big because you want to stay ahead. You have to stay ahead, all right? So that's why you have to, you know, you just you can't, if you're not, then you're playing catch-up. Then there'll be a spring practice. Then after spring practice, then, you know, there is that area where he has to go and speak. He did 18 of them last year. He's not doing 18 this year. I can guarantee you that. Okay.
But last year was a little different.
Last year was different, but he did it. All right. And I didn't take a vacation this year because I stayed and did things. Okay. I mean, I have not had a vacation in 17 months. All right. And that's because I thought it was important to be here because the sanctions came out about the time I was going to take one. Well, what's the worst thing I could have done at that point for everything going on? To take off and go on vacation and it seemed like I ran away from it. So I made the decision. I said, well, I'm not going to run from anything. I'm going to be there in the thick of what's going on because I think that this is the point where, for example, the stations or the program needs me. So by the time I get to the summer, I will relish some time off this upcoming summer. I mean, Kevin, how many days did I take off in 2012?
I trumped you by about six times what you took off.
I mean, I think I took off a day, didn't I? 2 days.
Maybe a couple, and that was it.
I took off 2 days when my mother passed away.
I call that extenuating circumstances.
Yeah. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Hilster's General Store Hotline, brought to you by Hilster's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove here in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Our thanks to Guy Godowski, Tony DeFazio, Jeff Byers, and Bill O'Brien for being on today's show. Kevin, great weekend.